During our summer Olathe services, we've been going through the spiritual armor which believers of all ages need to put on. My intent on selecting this topic was to follow up on the theme for the children's Sunday school camp, which we had in June, and that theme was to guard your hearts. So I'd like to begin by reading those instructions from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, stopping before it gets to the full armor. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. The battle is spiritual, the armor is spiritual, but Paul uses physical armor to picture the spiritual armor. Now, kids, what was the first piece of armor which Paul said to put on? Yeah. The belt of
truth.
The belt of truth. Remember, the important thing is the truth and not the belt. It's easy to get caught up in thinking of the armor, but it's to picture a spiritual truth. And the important thing to remember here is it's the belt of truth. Now, what was the second piece we looked at?
The breastplate of righteousness.
Breastplate of righteousness. Correct. And what was the third piece to put on? Actually, he doesn't actually name what the piece is, but we pretty much know what's talking about. Do you remember? I brought in a selection of different things to... Shoes. Okay. And what are... This was a difficult one. What did the shoes represent? Your feet fit it with... Well, that's part of it. That's one of three words.
Readiness.
The readiness of the gospel of peace. And today we're going to look at the fourth piece of armor. And you know what that is?
Shield.
A shield of? Faith. Good. They're working together up here. Each one's coming up with part of the answers to get a complete answer. We're looking at the shield of faith. Now, I actually, if you were looking over here, you would have seen, I actually put together a shield last night. I need something on my feet to keep from tripping over the cords, actually. This is actually to size... of a Roman shield they have found. Some were a little bit bigger than this. At the time of Paul, this was a typical Roman shield. It was used primarily for defense, but not entirely, and I'll explain that in a minute. It was generally rectangular, but curved, as you can see. Curved around like a cylinder. This one is a meter six high. It's 86 centimeters around, 67 centimeters across here. They were approximately 75 centimeters, some bigger, some smaller across. Made from wood, two pieces of wood, sort of laminated together, put together like this is. This is actually two pieces of cardboard that have been glued together. And it was covered with leather. And in the center was a metal piece, often of bronze, sometimes of iron, and the top edge and the bottom edge were often trimmed with metal as well, bronze or iron. And the centerpiece was for fighting. The rest was for protection, but they could push against enemies that way. And many times when there was close battle, they would push up against it. And the shield was held in the left hand. It's actually even set up to be able to do that. Can you hold it in your left hand? And they could stop enemies coming this way. And you know what else they could do with this? Have you ever seen them, what they did with arrows? Where do arrows come from? Yeah, I see some of the adults doing it already. Right, a tortoise. They'd go up like this.
And then there would be a line up front, and they would hold it like straight like that.
Right, up front, they could hold it like this. They could get down low behind it, and those behind could put it up like this to protect from the arrows. And unlike the rest of the armor that we've read about in Ephesians so far, it actually mentions the arrows coming against. Therefore, we're to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, what I've read, and I haven't found too much proof for it, is that sometimes they took the leather and actually tried to soak it with water so that when the arrows, flaming arrows, came, it wouldn't burn anything. The water kept it from burning the shield. Now, the important thing, as I've said, isn't so much the shield, but the fact that it's the shield of faith. And that's why I had read this morning Hebrews chapter 11. Actually, we had another reader scheduled. I'm thankful for Edward to stop at virtually the last minute, right before the service started, to be willing to read Scripture this morning. It's important that we understand faith and what it means to have faith. Now, wrong understanding of faith can be disastrous. If faith is supposed to be our shield, and we think, you know, we know what faith is, it'd be like picking out how would this be for a shield? They can't see me. I can't see them, so they can't see me. Would that work? You know, trying to hide behind this? That would not make a very good shield. But if we think wrong about faith, it's no different than a soldier going out and trying to stand behind something like this to be a shield. So what is faith? I just dropped something. Yes. Thank you. Do you know what faith is?
Believing something which you can't see.
Believing something you can't see. That's a good start, because that's in Hebrews, that's the way it starts out. The right type of faith is trusting God, and it's not faith in faith. Have you ever felt like, well, if I just believe enough, it'll happen? Well, that's like trusting in your ability to trust. That's not what biblical faith is. It's also not the right type of faith to believe that God will do whatever we want. Now, that's trusting God, but it's trusting Him for the wrong things. You say, well, I'll just believe. If I can believe enough that God will do what I ask, He'll do whatever I ask. Well, that's not what it says either. Faith in God, first off, means believing that He exists. Now, in that passage that was read this morning, in verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. That's the first thing. And the second thing, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, that means we want to find God. We want to understand who He is and what He wants. And that's what is necessary to have the right type of faith. Now, the rest of that chapter gives a lot of examples of what faith means. And it tells us that faith shows itself in action, by doing something. Now, when God told Noah that a flood was coming, what did Noah do?
He built an ark.
Why did he build an ark? Because of water. Had he ever seen rain before? No, it had never even rained before. The water came from below, the water came from above, it rained, and it had never rained before.
Before flood, it only watered from under.
Well, probably dew, which you go out in the morning and there's water all over the grass, but not from rain. So here is Noah who had never seen rain. He's in the middle of land, and he's building a boat. Why? Because he believed God. That's what faith is. He believed who God was. God said a flood was going to come, build an ark, and faith took action, and he built it. Now, Abraham, there's a lot of things about Abraham, but the first thing was, God came to Abraham and said, I want you to pack up and leave home. I'm going to do something for you. And you know what Abraham did?
He packed up
and left. He believed God. It wasn't just, well, yes, there's a God, and yes, that's a nice promise. He did what God says. And that's what that chapter says faith is. It's people who acted upon what God told them because they knew who God was. Christian faith accepts as true what God has said. And when we accept as true what God has said, we'll obey. Now, how is faith a shield? How can that protect us?
Andrew. I mean, faith protects us like not letting other things come near to us, like protecting us from flaming arrows. Also, that the devil or the bad person, that we have something protecting us before us. That's also how it is. Like, if someone in school or something says, well, I don't believe that, you can say, like, with your shield. And you can say, no, I believe that it's like that.
Okay, faith is, he said, is protecting us. It's something we can hold up when people say, oh, I don't believe something, it comes to us. Yes?
It's like with Noah, the people are laughing at him, and he did ignore him.
Okay, like Noah. And the people were laughing at him. And he preached to them. 100 years he took building this ark. And they laughed at him, and they didn't believe his message. Noah kept on building. Sawing that wood, hammering, I'm not sure they had nails or how they did it with wooden pegs or how they put it together, but he put that ark together and kept on doing it for 100 years. He believed God, and because of that, he kept on doing what he was told, even when people laughed at him. Because faith is accepting what God said is true, God himself is often pictured as our shield. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Psalm 18. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. Again, we find him a shield as we trust. Psalm 28. His faithfulness will be your shield. Psalm 91. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Psalm 115. It's also good to remember that trusting God is connected to trusting and doing what God says. Then he is our shield. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 119. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 30. Having faith in God is trusting what he says to be true and acting upon it. Now, the shield is setting there. Paul says, above all else, or in everything, take up the shield. The question is, how do I take it up? We know we should have faith in God. How do I put it into practice? Well, remember, it's not faith itself. It's not just that if I just believe enough, it'll be okay. We take up the shield of faith every day as we live by faith. We choose to act in a manner that shows we believe God. Now, can we trust God to help us?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. Can we trust him to help us to do anything? I see some a little uncertain there. Okay. Suppose somebody has said something to us that hurt us. And we want to say something back that really hurts them. Should we pray to God to help us to come up with something to say to them? No. So he doesn't really help us to do anything. You're smart enough to know, I shouldn't even ask for this. So he's not going to help us with anything. He's not going to help us to lie. He's not going to help us to steal. Lord, I really want this. I'm going to tell you, help me not to get caught. Now, he's not going to answer prayer that way. That's not the faith that's a shield. We show our trust by believing what God has said and doing that, not what we come up with. That's not our shield. It's what God has said and believing that. Now, I mentioned the fiery darts, flaming arrows. This is the first time in the armor that it mentions what Satan uses against us. But like the shield, I think there's a spiritual reality behind those flaming arrows. Now, when arrows are mentioned of a warrior, when you read through the Old Testament, you can see every time it mentioned bows and arrows, there were certain things that seemed to stand out. One, it seemed to mark a special ability. It talks about these were swordsmen or spears, but they were skilled in bow and arrow. And it makes them especially dangerous. Why are arrows especially dangerous?
Because if you hit someone, or even kill him from a big distance, like with a sword, so you have to come near to him to be able to cut him.
Okay, you can hit someone from a distance without even coming near, so you're not in danger of a sword. Right, you can hit him and he can't hit you. So it's dangerous because of the distance. They're also very powerful. Arrows can often go through even the wooden shields that the Romans had. There were certain bows and arrows that could shoot through their shield. An English longbow, he mentions, could go through their armor. That was one of the things that brought the mice to the metal armor of the Middle Ages, was the English longbow, because it could pierce even metal armor. So they're particularly dangerous. It's when it's mentioned in the Old Testament that there was arrows, it meant the battle was really intense. It pierced. It's often likened to that of a spear, but unlike a spear, it came quickly and suddenly. You could be fighting someone in a battle, and out of nowhere, an arrow could come and strike you. Now, flaming arrows were even more dangerous. Can you imagine what it'd be like if you got hit with an arrow? It maybe just hit your arm, but if it was on fire, and usually they put like tar on it, and that would stick to you. Have you ever had anything hot that stuck to you? Maybe like cheese on the roof of your mouth?
Or wax from a
candle. I had that problem making this. I was using a glue gun, and my finger slipped and went right into the hot glue that I just put on there. So I burnt the tip of my finger. And I thought, flaming arrows, can you imagine how that would be to have that attack you?
Well, flaming arrows weren't like cooling down. It was still burning. This tar or the oil or what they had put on it, it was still burning. And if you would like get an arrow in your arm or something like that, you couldn't really fight further with it. You had to take it out somehow.
Right. It'd still be burning if it hit you. And it would make a problem. You'd have to stop your fighting to do something with it, or we continue to hurt you. Now, there are things in the spiritual world that are just like that. And Johannes, I think you mentioned it, those who were laughing at Noah. Have you ever had someone laugh at you? Make fun of you? Say something bad about you? Did you just walk away and forget about it? How many of you here can remember something bad that someone has said about you? Be honest. I'm sure it wasn't in the last 5 minutes. You can remember that. Does it still hurt? There may be some things that you can remember that still hurts, like a burning arrow. In fact, in the Old Testament, when you find arrows used figuratively, it's often used about words. Like an arrow that pierces to the heart. It just continues to burn at times. And you remember it. And we'll look at an example just toward the end about a man who was attacked with an arrow. A words that burned until his death. He remembered it. There are similarities between the physical battle and the spiritual battle. Like the enemy who is dangerous because he's skilled with a bow and arrow, Satan is also very dangerous. We have to watch out. Sometimes we, in a conversation, we're not thinking, and a word of gossip comes out. Just like an arrow. Suddenly, we weren't even prepared for it. And someone says something bad about someone else. And the proverb says it's like a tasty bit of food that goes right down inside you. And there it sits. Just like that word that comes out. The attacks of Satan can pierce. Someone can just say something as a joke. But it goes through our skin, down to our heart, and we remember it, and it hurts. Like an arrow, Satan's attacks can come quickly. Old Testament says that the wicked aim their words like deadly arrows, Psalm 64. A man who lies about his neighbor is like a sharp arrow, Proverbs 25. A man who deceives his neighbor and says he's only joking is like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows. Again, you find the flaming arrow pictured. In fact, when we deceive, Jeremiah calls the tongue a deadly arrow. Flaming arrows are much more dangerous than normal arrows because they continue to burn after they hit. Now, there's hope, however. We have a shield of faith that can quench, can put out, extinguish those flaming arrows. Now, there's a couple examples I'd like to look at. One is King David. Now, King David often faced difficult times. Once he had a son that rebelled against him. Do you remember who that son was? Do you remember that, the name of that? Absalom, very good. Absalom rebelled against his own father as king. And David had to flee Jerusalem with all those who were faithful to him, except for a few that stayed behind to help him out. He had to flee Jerusalem. And we read about that in 2 Samuel 16. And on the way out, a man by the name of Shimei, he was a Benjamite of the same family as Saul, stood up above us and looked down, and he cursed him, even threw stones at him. And he called David a man of blood and a scoundrel. God's getting back to you, David. Now, do you think that hurt David? It did. And we can read later, at least in 1 Kings, when it's reporting about David's death, his last words to his son Solomon was, remember this guy. All the way through his life, he remembered that. But you know how he responded? He had a nephew. One of his soldiers said, let me go and chop his head off. That'll stop his cursing. It would have. But you know what David said? First, I would say he took his shield of faith. He believed God, that God was in control. David's words are recorded in 2 Samuel 16, verse 11. Leave him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord has told him to. David said, no. Don't do anything against him. This is all in God's hands. If God even allowed my son Absalom to rebel against me, who am I to do anything against a man who is cursing me? This is all in God's hands. So the first thing he recognized, God's in control of everything. And then he continues, it may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I am receiving today. David chose to believe that God was good. Even though he was allowing cursing, he said, God is good. There's a good purpose for this. So he took up his shield of faith and said, I believe that God is in control. I believe that God is good. And he walked away and did nothing wrong. Another example is the prophet Jeremiah. I think he's sometimes called the weeping prophet, isn't he? Isn't that a reference to him? There's a whole book called Lamentations that he wrote that just means that, lamenting, crying over Jerusalem. Jeremiah lived and ministered during the time that Jerusalem was finally captured and the people were taken away. It was a terrible time. And he warned the people, but they wouldn't listen to him. Have you ever tried to tell somebody something and they just won't listen to you? You know it's true, and they just won't believe you. And they make fun of you, and they say, oh, that's nothing, I don't believe you. And it hurts. That's the way Jeremiah lived. In fact, they even threw him into a pit once, and he sunk down into the mud, and they had to pull him up later. Jeremiah used arrows to picture his troubles. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. And he, too, saw that these things were from God. He recognized God was in control. And these things caused bitterness in him and depression. He called it despair. But Jeremiah took up a shield of faith. And he chose to believe what God had said about himself. Yet this I call to mind. And therefore, I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah chose to trust God rather than men. He chose to wait for the Lord to rescue him. He chose to believe that God is good and loving. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. He believed God. That is the shield of faith. He lifted up and said, I believe God is in control. I believe God is good. These things are just temporary. Something good will come out in the end. And because of that, he acted correctly after that. Now, how many of you here were here last week to hear the report from the Charltons? Any of you kids, did you stay? Most of you, the adults, I see some hands going up. I know a lot of you were here. There was a good example of the shield of faith being used with the report that Glenn gave last week. Many of you probably remember the story of their container. Some of you are laughing, yes. For 3 years now, the container has been kept from them. They finally got the container, but not the contents. The contents have been taken out, but they got the container. One difficulty after another has stopped the container from being released. Now, how might some people have reacted to that? How would you have reacted if somebody sent you a gift? You knew maybe grandparents or something sent you a birthday gift. And it was at the post office. You got a little card saying, come pick your thing up at the post office. And you went to the post office and they say, well, you have to show a passport or some identification to pick it up. So you go home and you bring it back. Well, this doesn't have your address on it. You've got to go something to prove your address. And you go back and you have to get something for you. And then you go and they ask for something. How would you feel that you couldn't get your birthday gift? You feel bad. Would you be angry?
Yes.
Be angry? Would you like the post office person? No. You'd probably get a bit bitter at them and say, oh, that woman or that man or whoever is there, and you would get angry. But is God in control? Uh-huh. Is he good? Has God stopped being good? Okay. To take up the shield of faith is to believe God is in control, and God is good. And that's what Glenn and Priska did. God is in control, and God is good. He didn't get angry. He didn't get bitter. He went back, and he tried to get the papers, and one paper required 3 more, and each of those required a whole stack of documents. And it went on for 3 years. But you know what happened in those 3 years? He got to know people he would never have come before. The mayor of his town came out and looked at the place where they help men come back, first off, to come to know the Lord, and then to come back in society and be able to work okay. And the mayor was really pleased with what he saw and said, I'm going to support this work. And others came and said, this is really good. He had opportunities to talk with so many people and give a good testimony about what God was doing in lives, things that he never could have done before. Those arrows that Satan shot at him not only were put out, they were turned around for good. Because he chose to believe God and he acted upon what was said. Has God promised us that we'll always get our birthday gifts? Nope. And he hasn't promised us that we'll always get containers and their contents that are shipped to us. We can't go to the Bible and say, here it is, right here, it says, every container that's sent to you, you'll get. Or every birthday gift that comes. That's, if we believe that, we're believing the wrong thing. We're pulling out the wrong shield. Well, God has said, I'll get birthday gifts, so I'll pray for my birthday gift and I'll get it. That's this type of shield. That's the wrong faith. The right faith is to believe God's in control and God is good. And he has told me, don't be uncontrolled in my anger. He's got to limit it to one day. Don't let it go to the next day. He said, don't be bitter. Speak the truth. Love my enemy. Bless those that curse me. Be good to those who despitefully use me. I have to be good to the postal worker, to the customs official. I have to be nice in what I say. And that is picking up that shield and saying, I believe God knows what he's saying. And he turned it around, God did, and made something better out of it than what it had been before. That is taking up the shield of faith. We can put out those flames, protect ourselves from the arrows. And then at the end of that time, I didn't sense in Glenn any bitterness against anybody. And when you don't do that, who is the one that gets injured? When you're still bitter, who is the one that's still hurting? The person who shot the arrow? No, that's right, we are. And if we don't do what God says, if we haven't picked up the shield of faith, we are the ones that's injured. The arrow has pierced us, the flame is still burning. We need to trust God that he's in control and that he is good. And then do what he says by blessing those that curse us, being truthful in what we say, not being bitter, not continuing on in our anger. And we will extinguish the flaming arrows of Satan. When Satan shoots his arrows against us, we have a protection, a shield of faith. Believe God, and he will protect us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have equipped us with those things we need to stand against the attacks of Satan. Father, these things we know start very early. Every child of yours is in a spiritual battle, whether they are 6 years old, 16, or 60. We know that Satan is shooting his flaming arrows at us. Words that can come and hurt us. Things that just stick inside of us and continue for years. Unless we turn to you and pick up the shield that you have provided by trusting in you. Father, help us to believe every day that you are in control and that you are good. And when bad things happen, it's not because you have lost control or you have changed in your character, but you have a greater purpose and you want us to act the way we should. Not to be bitter, to pray for those who curse us, to love our enemies. And in so doing, we will extinguish the flaming arrows of Satan. And victory will come out of the battle. Help us to do that. Whether it's another child in school who says something, a neighbor, a boss, someone we thought was a friend, that we would act as we should and take up the shield of faith to stand against Satan's attack. Thank you for the victory we have in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.